Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Comdegame. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking to author Kimberly Palmer about her new book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family. And I know we have millennials listening on all different ends of the spectrum here. Some of you just graduated college. Some of you are in your 30s and starting families. So I thought that this would be a great podcast topic to talk to Kimberly Palmer all about, you know, the realities of raising a family. She writes that just one tiny person could cost $250,000 to raise, and that does not include college costs. So obviously, if you're a young family or thinking of starting a family, it's something, you know, you need to consider, right? Like, you're going to be financially responsible for this little person for quite some time, and, you know, you got to figure out, like, how does that work into your budget? You know, what are some different ways that maybe you can save money or that you can just do things a little bit differently so that you don't totally have to give up your lifestyle just because you have, you know, this awesome blessing, this little baby in your life. So I hope you enjoy this podcast.
And I hope you rush out and go buy her book on Amazon. It's going to be out June 9th, Smart Mom, Rich Mom. Kim, I'm so excited to have you on as a guest and hear all about your awesome new book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom. This is a topic that we haven't covered a lot on the podcast, so I think it's going to give a lot of women a lot of great information and power about, you know, how they can kind of balance being a mom and still being smart financially. But what I'd love to do is just start out with you maybe telling the listeners a little bit about your background and kind of how this book came to life for you.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. So I have been writing about money for about 10 years, and I've been a mom for about 6 years. And I realized as soon as I became a mom, I became just more aware of all of the money messages being aimed at us. And I was just so struck that so much of the advertising and articles and blogs aimed at moms when it comes to money has to do with couponing and like saving money at the grocery store. And that, I mean, as you know, I mean, it's such a small part of building wealth and really creating financial security. So I wanted to write about all of those other bigger things we can do to build wealth and financial security for our families. Everything from investing to taking advantage of all the workplace benefits that we have, saving and managing, prioritizing our different savings goals. So that's what motivated me to write it.
Awesome. So maybe walk us through like some of kind of your favorite chapters in the book and maybe some of those like favorite topics that really stand out for you that you think, you know, people aren't really covering this kind of information.
Yeah. Well, I think one of my favorites is a topic that tends to get talked about quietly or in like conversations between friends. And that is just making sure you take care of taking out life insurance and writing a will and all of that estate planning paperwork that is so easy to put off and wait and not do. But what I really found is that even though it is depressing to think about, of course, just getting it done, I mean, it gives you peace of mind. Like you've taken care of it, you've taken care of business, and it's huge. And I mean, I find that like my friends will text me like, how do I do this? Like, can I just do it online or what do I do? So people are definitely interested and they want to take care of it, but it's just, it's kind of something that's kind of, you know, depressing to think about, but so important. And then my other favorite topic that I love talking about and writing about is earning and how we as moms balance our earning power and protecting our earning power with also caring for our kids, because of course those two things can be in conflict sometimes. So I loved interviewing moms about their strategies with that. And one of the biggest takeaways I found is just how important it is to negotiate for flexibility. You know, when you are switching jobs, we so often negotiate for pay, which is awkward potentially in itself and something we have to practice and get comfortable with, but also just making sure we ask for what we need in terms of flexibility, because more and more now, definitely than when our own moms were raising us, it's easier. Companies are more likely to give, have policies that make it easier to balance everything and get home. Like today, for example, I have to leave early to be at my daughter's school. So there are ways to kind of make it all work. And I think it's in some ways it's getting easier.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of and proponent of negotiation. All the listeners know that I'm just preached like there's so many things you can negotiate in life, and you know, it doesn't have to be hard or scary or anything like that. So I think that's like an awesome point of just, you know, being like really honest as a mom about, you know, like what you need in order to make this work, because obviously you want to be productive in the workplace and be a productive mom.
Exactly. And I think so much of it really has to do with just getting like embracing that and saying to yourself like, okay, yes, I feel slightly uncomfortable asking for these things, but I'm going to practice, I'm going to do it. And just sort of, you know, taking on that challenge, because so when it comes to pay too, like so often we're underpaid or aren't earning as much as men doing the same thing. And a lot of it starts with asking for what we need. So I think talking about it with our girlfriends is such a good place to start. The last time I had to negotiate, I called my husband and I said, you know, I'm really nervous about this negotiation. Like, what should I do? And my husband was like, just say a really big number. Like, it's fine. You know, just say a really big number. And I was like, okay, let me just also ask my best friend what she thinks. So I asked her, I texted my best friend Allison and I was like, okay, what do you think I should do? And her advice was, before I called back, before I did anything, just stand like Superwoman from that, the Amy Cuddy book, Presence.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, she talks about just the power of posture, and if we stand like, or Wonder Woman, we stand like a superhero, we'll feel more powerful. So that was her advice, and I have to say, I think that was really useful advice. It helped.
Awesome. So did you also ask for the big number?
I did. So okay, I stood like Superwoman, and then I asked for the big number, and they were like, okay.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, you know, the differences between men and women, especially when it comes to negotiation. Because I think men can be a little bit more like, oh no, you just go in, you just do this,
it,
you know. And women, we like overthink, and then we think, well, about this and what about that, and then it gets in the way of the whole purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know, obviously, especially when you have a newborn, mm-hmm. you know, saving money and just everything is just chaotic. You know, it's hard to get a grasp on the budget. It's hard to figure things out because there's so many new like expenses flying at you. But do you have any tips maybe on, you know, ways that new moms can think about saving money and maybe, you know, helping their budget that isn't couponing and you know, kind of those obvious methods?
For sure. So it actually often starts with paperwork and getting organized, I found, because it's so hard to even log into your 401k and see if it's balanced properly if you can't even find the password or you don't even have easy access to those accounts. So the number one thing is just developing your system. For me, what I love is just having a binder with each account laid out. So everything from debt, like mortgage and insurance and bank accounts all in one place. And then it makes it so much easier to sit down. I like to do it quarterly. And of course, if you have a partner, you can coordinate with them and just reviewing everything. And that's how you can catch mistakes or things you're forgetting to do. For example, I realized I hadn't paid my homeowner's insurance in a few, like it had lapsed and that was a major problem. So I could, you know, notice that and fix it before it actually did become a huge problem. So I think organizing is a big part of it. And then in terms of actually generating savings, one thing is with workplace benefits, even if you're not working and maybe your partner's benefits, but however you have access to workplace benefits, so many of us leave money on the table by not taking advantage of them. I mean, the classic one that most people have heard of is the 401k and signing up for retirement benefits, but there's others too. There's often flex spending plans, which are so relevant to families. So making sure you sign up for flex spending for childcare costs and for healthcare costs, because of course, you know, kids often are costing us a lot for healthcare needs too. Yeah. So just signing up for all that and then following up with the paperwork, it can definitely be a pain, but taking the time to file the flex spending before it expires. And I have found too that, and I know I'm not the only one, health insurance benefits, I mean, they make mistakes. Like they'll deny claims by accident. And if you just take the time to follow up and, you know, resend it if necessary, you can actually end up saving your family hundreds, or in my case, I actually saved almost $1,000 just by following up with all this stuff 1 year. And especially right after you have kids or right after you give birth, like the costs associated with birth are often so high. You know, you get this huge bill and your insurance might not calibrate everything correctly. So it is kind of like, it can be a headache, but I think if you know, kind of make it organized and have as much fun with it as possible, just because it feels so satisfying to get those checks back, it can actually, it can be worth it for sure.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Yeah, I think that that's such a good point about, you know, organization. I mean, I work with and talk to so many, like, especially younger people who don't open their statements or look at, you know, if they get an email, and I'm like, oh, but you have to at least look. Like, there are, you know, they do make mistakes, or there might be a glaring error there that, you know, please just at least look, you know, every maybe twice a year if that's the least you can do. But, you know, make sure you pay attention to that stuff.
Totally. And also on the topic of saving time, I mean, if automating as much as possible when you are saving. So I took too long. I made the mistake of waiting too long to open up a 529 account, with a college savings account for my kids. I wish I had done it as soon as they were born, but, you know, no point in like dwelling on my regrets. Right? I opened it. I finally opened it. And then because, I mean, it is kind of a pain to have one more thing on your to-do list. We're so busy. So I really am a fan of like setting up automatic payments. So just like you can do that for a retirement account, you can also set up an automatic deduction for things like your college savings account. So then you know that you're, you know, steadily progressing towards those big goals.
Yeah. And, you know, I know one of the things you talk about in your book is the childcare expense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live in Los Angeles and I know it is exorbitant. It's, you know, and I would imagine it's that way most places where women are like thinking, well, do I go back to work and then all my money is going to childcare, or do I stay home with my kid? Do you have any tips about, you know, how to deal with these massive childcare expenses?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, it's so important to think long-term and not short-term, because yes, especially if you have kids, when you're still, you know, growing your career, you're not necessarily at the peak of your earnings yet. I mean, it can easily, especially if you have two kids, easily eat up your whole, you know, take-home paycheck. But the way to think about that is like, it's not just about today. It's about long-term growing and protecting your earning power. And a paycheck, it's not just like, that's not the only compensation. You also often are getting healthcare benefits and retirement savings and other benefits through working. So you definitely want to consider all those factors and not just like, oh my gosh, like I'm writing my whole paycheck over to childcare. That's such a finite period. One of my friends always calls it the, like, we're in the middle of the lean years. We have like double daycare expenses and such high costs, but you know, it's short term. It will go by quickly, and then you will still have your earning power and your career. So of course, some people, you know, do scale back and earn less for a period of time. And I think the main takeaway there I got from my interviews with moms, and especially older moms who have been through this already, is like, don't walk away from it all. Like, you can still can stay connected to your profession and network and have a LinkedIn account that's really professional. So just because you're scaling back doesn't mean you're walking away from everything. Like, you can still leave that door open, so when you are ready, you can ramp it up again.
Yeah, that's such a good point because, you know, obviously there's a huge kind of national issue going on with women, you know, earning less than men.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, whatever side of the fence you kind of fall on that, you know, there's a lot of complexities with women as far as, you know, starting and stopping career and things like that. So I think that's a good point of thinking about, well, not just today, but, you know, how is this going to impact your earning power kind of going forward? And if you take a giant, you know, time out in your career, it's going to be harder for you to get back on track and maybe, you know, make up and earn what, you know, your peers might be earning at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned so much actually from talking. I teach a class to moms who are in their 50s and 60s who are to women, and they're often going back to work after being out of working for like 20 years. And it's like the whole culture has changed and it's so challenging. So I teach them just about their social media and how to create a LinkedIn account that'll help them get a job and network online. And it's just so, I've learned so much from them. It's so striking to me just how hard that can be if, you know, when you completely walk away, it's like it's starting over as like a 22-year-old, but you know, you're in your 50s or 60s. So it's, I think we can learn so much from talking to older women and, you know, in our families and also out of our families, just seeing, you know, what life experiences have taught them and we can learn from them too. So I'm such an advocate of like learning across generations.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So what about like maternity leave? Cause I know that's always that's a question that I get asked a lot, you know,
yeah.
Like what are some of the feedback from some of the women that you talk to? You know, how do they deal with that? You know, we obviously in this country don't have a really strong policy for women to take off, you know, like some other countries, you know, we don't get a 6-month time or a year or whatever
right.
that is. You know, we usually have a really tight kind of window. And then after that, we're either, you know, taking vacation time or we're just taking it off no pay. And that can be a real struggle for a lot of women to try and figure out, like, how do I make that work with my budget? And, you know, obviously I'm a new mom and I'm like, want to stay with my baby.
I know. It's so, so hard. And I feel like at the same time, it's like you have this crushing, you know, flood of hormones that are making you just overthink everything. And you're like, okay, on one hand, I need to, like, you're so concerned about like the health and every sniffle and like the safety of the crib. And like, it's just so much to think about at once. And at the same time, you're like, I want to make sure I am financially supporting my family too. So it's like, it's so intense. And I feel like, you know, money is a part of that. So I think the main takeaway is in this country, we basically just have to self-fund. Most women have to self-fund their own maternity leaves. And so the second you know you're pregnant, you have to start saving for that. So whatever the cost of childcare in your area, you can use that, or you can just use your own income as a ballpark. So say, if you have a dual income family, like you have a partner who's working too, you save one of those incomes. So if you're going to stop working, practice that while you're pregnant and just put your entire income into savings instead of spending that. And it might sound like so drastic and dire to do that, but like that's the reality of what maternity leave feels like. So I think it's so important to do that as soon as possible, like the second you know you're pregnant, because
right.
that way you're like starting, it's like a nest egg for your maternity leave, because it's just a fact of life in America. Like most of us we're not going to be paid while we're out on leave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Well, this has been fantastic. Do you have any like last tips that you know, really want to talk about?
I guess my main message is like, let's embrace our financial powers. You know, let's like, the fact is at some point in our lives, 90% of us will be solely in charge of our finances. And that's just because of, you know, the facts of life. Either, you know, tend to outlive our male partners, or we're single moms or divorce, like so many factors. And so since we're going to have to be in charge at some point, let's be ready for that. And, you know, start today and make sure we know where our money is and that we're making smart choices with it.
And we all need to do the superwoman power posture. Yes.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah. So awesome. So when and where can listeners pick up the book?
Yes, it's officially on sale June 9th and in bookstores. I have already seen it in bookstores,
oh,
so it's
yes.
available. Yeah, and you can also, I of course have all the links on my website, kimberly-palmer.com. I love Twitter. I'm at Kimberly Palmer if anyone's on Twitter. And then, of course, the book Smart Mom, Rich Mom is in, you know, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, everywhere.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you for these tips. This has been great. And I know the listeners are going to love this information.
Thank you so much for having me.